two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Yellowest Lawn Award with Dave and Duchanovic.
Every Wednesday at 10:50, Dave and I give away what works out to be a half a tank of gas. Yellowest Lawn Award. Did you see Sarah's yellow lawn?
I did.
Yeah.
It still has some green. Sarah, congratulations. You still have some green, even though you are the winner of this week's Yellowest Lawn Award. You win $50, a Maverick gift card. Congratulations, Sarah Williams of West Jordan.
We give it away every single week right here on the show because we want to encourage people to not water their lawns as much as they did last year so we can conserve water. And you can find more information at KSLNewsRadio.com. If you just go to the right side, there's a little button for contests. And there we are, David. There we are, our Yellowest Lawn Award contest. We want to talk about something else related to summer that is actually a pretty serious topic. And it has to do with drowning.
Yes.
And specifically, this kind of caught Dave off guard. And I think this is a great topic of conversation, particularly for parents. What does drowning look like? There's a doctor. His name is Dr. Michael Boniface. I hope I'm saying that right. He described it this way to the Mayo Clinic News Network, and it really caught your attention, Dave.
In most cases, you don't see a struggle. You just see somebody under the water or floating face down.
You don't see a struggle. That was really surprising because I grew up on Baywatch, right? I grew up on Baywatch, and this is what drowning looked like on Baywatch. The coughing, the sputtering, the calling out for help,
the really splashing. Loud music.
Yeah, the dramatic music underneath, the shark somewhere in the distance. But when I started researching this and learning more about it, to learn that drowning doesn't look like Baywatch, that was a revelation to me because last month, in about a week, we had 5 drownings. In Utah. 5. Just heartbreaking. And it wasn't just little kids either. This was parents and a husband and a wife. They both died. We had 41 drownings in 2019. So I wanted to learn more about what are the true signs of drowning.
Because if you're looking out over a pool and you're on the edge of the pool and your kids are swimming and they're in trouble and they're in distress, you would expect from what you know from Baywatch.
Yes.
Their arms flailing, they're screaming, they're gasping,
Dad, help,
help, help, help. Well, there's an article a water safety expert wrote. His name's Mario Vitoni. And he says, trying to kind of dispel the Hollywood myth about drowning, and said real drownings are completely opposite. In a moment, we're going to get a lifeguard on. But for right now, I want to play this. He told CBS News that it is impossible for someone to make a sound. So let's listen to what he told CBS.
The response and the movements are instinctual, so they won't be able to cry out. They won't be able to reach out. So if you throw them a line, they can't stop drowning and grab the line. And so it's all complete instinct movements. They can't call out for help. Speech is an overlaid function of breathing. If you can't breathe, you can't speak. So that's why it's very quiet.
And I have seen this. I've seen kids, because we have a pool. My brother has a pool. And I've seen kids get in trouble. And we didn't realize they were in trouble because this very thing, their eyes get really big. They start panicking, but they almost freeze up. And which is part of the reason why the recommendation is parents stay close. They stay attentive. They stay alert.
I don't think it is enough. But, you know, if your child, if you're with your child, they're not a sincerely strong swimmer. I like to be within what's called touch supervision. I'm close enough to them to reach them.
If they're not strong swimmers. Now, you can see very poor swimmers that are adults and very strong swimmers that are kids. But, you know, you need to figure out, how safe am I to leave these kids alone?
Amber Milne, lifeguard with the Aquatics Section Supervisor with Salt Lake County. Good morning.
Good morning.
So explain to all of us, what does drowning really look like?
Yeah, so I think you've done a great job of kind of talking about some of those features where it is a struggle that is silent and sometimes unobservable process that happens. The drowning process really begins when, you know, they're struggling to surface or their mouth and nose is under the water and they are unable to call for help. And it can happen quickly and silently and within seconds.
That was really an eye-opening experience because all of my kids have spent a lot of time in the water, but I always just in the back of my head thought, well, I can still look at my phone. I don't need to pay that much attention because I'll see them splashing. I'm not going to miss them splashing around if they get in trouble. So to learn that it's more subtle and that I needed to be more aware was a real shock to me.
Yes, absolutely. You know, drowning is overall worldwide the third leading cause of death in people of all ages and accounts for 7% of all injury-related deaths and is the second leading cause of death in children under the age of 14. So it is a very high risk and can happen so quickly. A lot of times with our little kids with, you know, bobbing in the water, they'll get, like you said, the big eyes. They'll be struggling on the surface. Maybe their mouth or nose is under the water or, you know, bobbing to where the water gets a little bit deeper and they're in trouble, but they can't do anything to stop it because they're unable to touch. They're not able to swim. Maybe they're not wearing a life jacket. And so it may possibly go unrecognized either by a parent or sometimes lifeguards. It can be hard to look for.
So, Amber, can drowning be more peaceful than panic?
Yes, absolutely. Sometimes, you know, you're just underneath the water and it does happen within seconds. Once your airway is closed off, so it's really a process of suffocation where your mouth and nose is covered with water and the water will actually go into your stomach more than your lungs. So after you're down there for a few, you know, moments, then that process can happen. You can go unresponsive very quickly. And so you're really looking to making sure we're interrupting that drowning process as soon as possible. If you see someone in trouble or they're under the surface, they're in more trouble than they are on the surface because at this point you don't know how long they've been under the water. So we want to get them out as quickly as possible and then interrupt the drowning process by giving them, you know, 5 quick rescue breaths where we're just breathing into them to try to get that oxygen into their body. And then calling 911 and then providing care, CPR if needed, and that type of thing. So for bystanders or parents that are watching, you know, absolutely keeping your children within arm's reach, designating a water watcher, somebody who's always there to watch the kids in the water. If you have to go to the bathroom or get a drink, then you pass off that duty responsibly to another parent. And then making sure that if we do see something that we're responding quickly, interrupting that drowning process and calling 911.
That water watcher is interesting because when I was researching this, one of the things people said, be aware. One of the hard things as a lifeguard is to really watch and to concentrate and pay attention for 15, 20 solid minutes. Just try that. It's not very easy, which is why it's important to either take breaks or change out water watchers, so to speak. So, you know, the idea that you're going to be able to pay attention as a parent, you know, hyper-focused for hours will just never happen, will it?
It will not. And so having more than one parent there, the eyes on the children, that kind of thing, you can turn away for a few seconds. You know, even leaving a child in the bathtub unattended for a few seconds can lead to that dangerous situation. You're absolutely right. It's very hard for those lifeguards to stay vigilant. We have different techniques we use, like sit stand sit and different things where that will help them. But as a parent with that water watcher, you're not trained at that level. So having more eyes on the water or making sure you know who's in charge of the watching the children in that moment is essential and one of the key points to prevention of drowning prevention. We actually do have a Utah Drowning Prevention Coalition within our state. We did have with the World Health Organization has an annual Drowning Prevention Day every year on July 25th, which we just had as well. And there are some, you know, preventions that we talk about on there, as well as our YouTube channel about wearing a life jacket, don't just pack it, and some other helpful tools for parents as well.
Well, we appreciate you joining us, Amber Milne, Aquatic Section Supervisor with Salt Lake County. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, I had a conversation at my desk with Senator Mitt Romney at 6 o'clock this morning. He called me, and we talked about a lot of things, from boycotting the Beijing Olympics to seeing the Olympics right back here in Utah. You'll hear what he told me next.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.